Before human settlements, we're not fully a quorum yet for human settlements.
Oh, I see. Okay, now we are. I see
we
these.
Are members and
hello, hello, Maslori Maseko.
Hello. Rick.
I'm good, and how are you this morning?
I'm just as great as yesterday.
Is it that
you mustn't
day?
Be good.
I miss my favorite Jack.
You mustn't be
Mr.
good.
McKinsey, I miss you, Jack.
You miss me. I do apologize, Member Maria. I do apologize.
So, the last time I checked, you guys have offices and we are open in Western Cape. You can go and have a coffee, but in my meeting, it's my time to maintain order. So, good morning, members.
Good morning.
Okay. We are going to start now. It's 1 minute past nine. Shumis, we are a quorum. Minister Simas, good to see your face. Honorable members, let's start with the meeting. I think we received the agenda, all of us. And today we are going to discuss the land invasion. And let me start by welcoming and the departmental officials and the city. Also, I'm wondering if MMC JP Smith is already here. Is this already here, Shumis, or still coming? And MMC Boy. Is he here?
Present.
No response yet for JP Smith.
Present, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Boy is here. And the officials also, I hope they are also in the meeting. Okay. I think just for the record, let's make sure that, and they're from SAPS. Is there a representative from SAPS that have already joined us?
If there's anyone from SAPS,
can you just click your mic and say, yes, we are here. Okay, I don't hear. That means they haven't joined us. And community safety officials, are they here? Mr. Louis Brown, are you with us today? Mr. Mbaka, are you here?
I'm here, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you very much. And Human Settlements Minister is here, so they are here with us. And I think we only got from the city the names of Alderman Smith and Councillor Boy, so there's no official bed that have been mentioned. If they are Councillor Boy, can you introduce them?
Thanks, Chair, and good morning to the honorable members of the province and also to the officials that are present. I think from our side, we should be joined by the executive director from Human Settlements, and also we should be joined by our directors, which is Ray Raguba and Rihanna Pretorius. So, but it's always a bit difficult to join the Microsoft Teams from our side because we're using a different platform. If we can kindly give them just about a minute or two, I'll check who's here. I'll try and check who's present, if you can grant me so that I can call them. But we always battle to get into this particular platform, Chair.
Okay. No, we will allow them to connect. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, members, just apologies that I received from Minister Fritz. I'm not going to be able to join us, but the officials are here. And also the head of department, Advocate Pillay. And also, who has joined us but sent the apology is it was HOD for Human Settlement, Ms. Sampson, but she is here with us. So the apologies for only two. And other than that, we don't have any apologies. Just ground rules, members, the hand is when you want to speak. If you check on your screen up there, you'll see the hand. And if you need to, there is a point of order, the hand also, I have to recognize you. And we are going to make sure that we run the meeting nicely. So usually I say interjection can happen because we will be very few, but today it's only the hand sign that is going to allow any member to be able to contribute or ask questions. So we were supposed to start with the city because Alderman Smith indicated that he's going to only be with us for an hour from the city. So we are going to allow them to do that. But since they are not here, I'm going to give Minister Simmons some few minutes to talk to us before we start with the presentation, if he has anything that he would want to talk to us about. Over to you, Minister.
No, thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be very brief because I think the topic of presentation and discussion today I think is very crucial because of its current and future impact. But I do believe that the realities of what has been occurring during lockdown is not needs driven, but driven by elements of opportunism and criminality at the expense of law-abiding, patiently waiting beneficiaries of the state to do or would have qualified in the near future. And with that frame of mind, we, as a department, Madam Chair, we do approach this morning's session. It's always humbling and an honor to come and present to the Standing Committee. Because if we do not empower you with all the facts, how else can we expect you, together with myself, also as a member of the legislature, to go out and empower our communities effectively? So it's very sad what has been happening, and we do need to take out the elements of politicization of what's been happening. Look at the realities, and look at the impact of the realities, because the state resources, which was now earmarked through my department for human settlements development, as I needed to be reprioritized or rechanneled to secure land, to secure current units at the expense of future housing opportunities, which is a sad reality. And it's time that all members of the standing committee, even both standing committees, accept this reality, but also start executing one of our core functions as members of the legislature, which is to empower our communities with the truth, not selective truths, to drive a specific agenda, which, as we have seen over the last few weeks, actually fuels land invasion. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Minister. We are not going to do from the member side, we are not going to do the introduction. So when the time comes for you to ask the questions, please just indicate your name and then that you can ask the questions. The same applies to the different departments. Before you talk to us, please make sure that you indicate from where and who and what is your name. So let me check, is the city around?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. Who's going to do the presentation?
I will do the presentation, but I'll Rihanna will have to upload it quickly. Rihanna, can you kindly upload the presentation, please?
Chairperson, JP Smith.
Yes, JP. Oh, welcome.
Welcome, ma'am. Greetings to everybody who's on the meeting. Once Councillor Boy is done with the use part, I will cover sections B and C of the presentation with Director Roberts.
Okay. Thank you very much. So we are going to take both the presentations before we can come in with the questions. I understand you will be leaving us after an hour. JP?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you going to leave us after an hour?
Unfortunately, yes, ma'am, we have a meeting with SAPS that is unavoidable, and it's quite a high-level meeting, ma'am.
Okay. You have about 30 minutes for the presentation. If you have a lot of slides, please address the issues that are on the agenda with your slides so that we can have enough time to interact with you before you go. So it's going to be 30 minutes for you and all the presentations and 30 minutes of the questions. Over to you, Ms. Boy.
Thanks, Chair. Perhaps if Alderman Smith needs to leave within an hour and you're granting him in 30 minutes, can I ask that we start with B and the C section so that we can allow him to vent his opinions on the matter and can respond to some of the questions, and then we can do our portion afterwards, if you permit, Chair. Thanks.
I don't have a problem if both of you agree in that order. We are, I think, when I say we, I'm talking the standing committee and our guests, we are okay with that.
Thank you so much. Alderman Smith, over to you and your team.
Okay. Then you will, Chairperson, you'll need to permit me to load my presentation then. If that
not yet.
Apologies.
Yes, we can. I think now. Yes, we can see that now.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm just going to hide the interaction window. Ma'am, the current status of the problem statement that we confront in relation to land invasions is at the moment that SAPS's deployment in the province is low by comparison to the rest of South Africa. We are below the national average, as the Western Cape Portfolio Committee has demonstrated. We also have a serious deficiency in POPs members and the investigations that are required to make sure that these matters are brought to conclusion are absent. We have a problem with enforcement capacity within local authority. We are not primarily geared for this. It's not primarily our competency, but increasingly pressure has been placed on us to perform this function. You not only have to deal with the land invasion, but with the violent aftermath of illegal or violent protests, which is an almost inevitable consequence of every anti-land invasion operation that you do. There is a lack of prosecution of the people who illegally occupy the land or who drive this public violence, and I'll do this in relation to the arrest, which I'll show you now. There is definitely a lack of understanding of the law and the processes by private property owners and the general public, especially with all these complicated court rulings. And I mean, I can tell you I get easily 25 to 40 WhatsApps and phone calls by individuals per day on top of all the groups and everything else where I'm alerted to land invasions and people ask questions about why can't you just act on the court decisions. Compelling alternative accommodation is definitely a major challenge because it means in effect that if you lose any land to a land invasion or an unauthorized occupation, that you won't recover it. So the most recent court order that says, well, you can apply for a court interdict to get the land back is in fact not practically realistic because we're still dealing with the court orders from months ago. You won't ever get a court order for every land invasion. And so effectively what you lose is lost. And if you do get the court order, it will require alternative accommodation, which we're not able to deliver on. The very problematic interpretation of the PIE Act, and we must remember the full name of that act, which is the Prevention of Illegal Eviction from and Unauthorized Occupation of Land Act. The way in which that has been interpreted and the failure to properly populate that act with regulations by national government is very much part of the problem. And it creates a completely unrealistic burden on public and private landowners in terms of land protection, and therefore also drives away investment and investor confidence in the country. This means that we have to redeploy resources away from critical enforcement actions towards the land invasions, which we don't believe is desirable, but which is unfortunately inevitable. Just so that you can see the kind of figures we have to deal with annually. In the last 2 years, we had this massive spike before the last national provincial elections. These spikes are unfortunately common, so before every election you will see this. Those are just the statistics over the last year, and we have lost some major city sites. You will see the 2018 as a major outlier, on average 10 to 15,000 structures in a year, but the 2018-2019 year really very serious outlier with 87,000. And since I think the real challenge started in July, this where we had this massive spike in land invasions on all land, national government land, sand parks land. In fact, the biggest sections of land we lost was sand parks land. And 238 land invasions during July, August, and thus far September. These are just the stats at the moment. At the moment, we have 80,000 structures. So you can see almost what we did in an entire year, we've now done in 2 months. The land invasions that we've seen is 238, 28,000 plots cleared. 126 protest actions have followed those land invasions. We've made 111 arrests, and you will have seen that we've issued numerous public statements calling on the criminal justice system to ensure that there's consequences for the people involved in these actions, so that we can stem the public violence. We've had 49 injuries on duty. There's a staff injured, some of them attacked with petrol bombs. Two of them have in fact been petrol bombed. So there isn't just an attempt to scare the staff away, there's an attempt to seriously maim or kill staff. We've also had live ammunition discharged at us on numerous occasions now. We've had 22 city vehicles damaged or destroyed, two provincial government vehicles, 13 private vehicles that we're aware of, and possibly more. We've implemented 53 court orders, 55 relocations, and there are 4,500 structures that have been built that we have, in terms of the court rulings, not been able to remove because of what the court defines as either occupied previously or now completed, because the goalposts substantially. So that means that since January, effectively, we've lost about 20,000 structures. And remember, we can't do evictions without a court order. We can only counter spoliate, but that has now been made more difficult. And the 153 criminal cases have been reported. I wanted to include this slide. It's unfortunately a day old, or 2 days old, that what we're trying to show you is that half of, if you look at the 2,172 structures occupied, half of the structures occupied in this 8th of the South African Human Rights Commission court case and what that has meant. We've had a massive acceleration in land invasions and accompanied, unfortunately, by quite a lot of criminality in terms of the effects on the staff, people using petrol bombs, the destruction of council walls, the Albert Luthuli Hall. This is a recreational facility opposite Khayelitsha. Our vehicles, councillors, officers. We have numerous councillors who are now in safe houses. And we very definitely dispute the court ruling because it conflates demolition of unoccupied structures that have not yet become homes of persons with the eviction of persons from structures which are homes. And the court incorrectly concluded that the presence of furniture and certain images put by the applicants was dispositive of the question as to whether these structures were occupied when they were dismantled, despite the fact that in some cases we show clear evidence that it wasn't. I mean, I'm able to show you pictures of where a bed is placed on the ground, surrounded by 20 or 30 centimeter high grass, a partial structure is erected around it, and a court deemed that to be an inhabited structure. So in rejecting this evidence that the city put up, the court has failed to properly apply the legal principles. And for that purpose, you see, we are now going to the Supreme Court of Appeals to appeal. We also, and I won't go through all the detail because of the time constraints, there is ample evidence, even recorded by the media themselves in ENCA interviews, media reports, and otherwise, where the witnesses contradict themselves in different versions of the information. And I won't go specifically into the matter of Mr. Bulelani Kolani, other than to say that the tactical undressing issue has now become far more common. It was, there were previous incidents before his, as our officers pointed out, but in the last month we've had multiple such incidents, including at Valbaloont behind the noon, where on one day three ladies undressed, but our female officers were at on hand with blankets to wrap them up, so that there is no, that we do not have the kind of dispute we saw before. I do want to point out that the Human Rights Commission judgment does not invalidate the existing court orders. And as you saw from the stats I presented you, we are continuing to enforce those existing court orders, and they remain in effect. The POPs, the public order policing units available to the province is definitely a problem. As you can see there, we have only three units available to us. There are other provinces much smaller with many fewer land invasions and protest actions at the moment who are allocated substantially more units or have much smaller areas to cover but are better resourced. The enforcement mandate from the city, Director Roberts will speak to you quickly, and then I will speak to you about the remedies in place.
Good morning, Chair. Director Roberts here, Director for Operational Coordination within the City of Cape Town. Just with regarding to the mandate of the city in terms of traffic, we've got traffic policing, law enforcement, the bylaw enforcement, and with regarding to metro police crime prevention. Then, Chair, with regarding to the purpose for our new operational approach, is just to ensure an integrated approach with all the role players to identify the high-risk, medium-risk, and low-risk areas with regarding to land invasions, and to identify the identification of threats against identified land, should it be national, city, or private land, the prevention of any invasions on these lands, patrolling and monitoring of the land parcels, reporting and registering the trespass cases, watching briefs, and the analyzing of CCTV footage and social media. Then as well as analyzing of information with regarding high flyers and who's behind this orchestrated actions. And then also the applications of court orders and for court cases. Then also the mapping of land invasion incidents, integrated planning with the South African Police Services, the station commanders, as well as with public order police. And then also compiling of maps with regarding to ownership, and then the responsibility of the South African Police in terms of SAPS National Instruction 7 of 2017. Chair, I would just want to go through the slides quickly. We've got the roles and responsibility of our strategic information management system that is more to gather all the information with regarding to land invasion so that we can operationalize it at the end of the day, and also get all the footage and the video footage available for SAPS to do the proper investigation of the protest action cases, malicious damage to property, the Amendment Act with regarding to essential infrastructure, as well as trespass cases. Then with regarding to the roles of responsibilities of the SSIU is to shadow investigations with the South African Police Services, and should there be a need for any information by the police, we will provide that particular information to the police. We downloaded all our images, our footage, everything to the South African Police Services for the special investigation. And we are also using the analyzing of social media in order to we link directly to the provincial doc as well. Anti-land invasion logistics.
Sorry, sir, just for a second. I see the hand, Member Michelle.
My apologies, Chair, for interrupting the speaker. Chair, I just want to find out if there's something wrong with the transmission. because I'm struggling to hear the presenter. And I don't know if it's just me, and if it's just me, then perhaps it's my connectivity.
Member Mare?
Chair, I could. You can hear every third word that the official is saying. There's great interruption, and it's not clear. I couldn't make out head or foot what he said.
Okay.
Chair, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. Now you can start with this slide from the beginning of this slide and continue with it.
Thank you, Chair. Just with regarding to the roles and responsibilities of our anti-land invasion unit logistics, they are the people that are patrolling and monitoring the vacant land, identified invaded land, and the management of the contractor that's responsible for the demolishing, and safety and security are responsible to provide the security for the contractors. Then the roles and responsibility of SAPS, I'm not going to dwell into that, apart from that they are chairing the weekly station commanders meeting, as well as the weekly land invasion meeting with public order police, and then their responsibility in terms of intelligence, operational, and investigation of the land invasion cases. Just our relationship and the role of the South African police with regarding to National Instruction 7 of 2017, it's a national instruction signed off by the National Commissioner with regarding to the responsibility of SAPS in terms of unlawful occupation of land, and the contents of that indicates to us exactly with what the South African police must deal, specifically in paragraph 6, dealing with land invasions, and then the responsibilities during an unlawful land invasion and the complaints in terms of the Rental Housing Act. Chair, just in short, with regarding to this slide, is that the South African police have a responsibility in dealing with the land invasion and to allow any owner of a piece of land to report that land invasion to a police station. Feedback from the city of Cape Town is currently struggling with the various substations in terms of the reporting of trespass cases. I can mention that we had a meeting yesterday with the Acting Provincial Commissioner, Major General Mansi, and that particular problem was sorted out, and we are again taking hands and dealing with the planning of these operations with the station commanders. But part of this is to obtain witness statements, CCTV footage, the determination of damage and cost to the infrastructure, dealing with the court orders, the integrated operational plans, and the utilization of informal systems. Then with regarding to the station commander, I have to ensure that a written operational plan is in place. So actually the mandate of the policing of land invasion is the mandate of the South African police, and the city is a role player that are supporting the South African police in fighting preventing land invasions, as well as we support them with the investigation. In terms of the investigation itself, there's a responsibility from SAPS to investigate these cases. We need to report the trespass cases in order for us to apply for court orders. That was a responsibility in terms of National Instruction 7 of 2017, and we are assisting the SAPS by providing the information in terms of public violence cases, malicious damage to property, murders, attempted murders, extortion, and then in terms of the Amendment Act, every single piece of information that they need for the investigation. Then I also want to indicate that part of the investigation is follow the money with regarding to the shack lords, the land mafia, and the estate agents, selling of land. Chair, we've got currently a big problem in the Langa environment where the public are really, the residents of Langa are really unhappy with the situation there. It is land that is earmarked for development that is being taken by people from other areas like Mfuleni, Brown Swamp, and all these other places, and they are selling these land by for money. the source of financing of building material, the delivery vehicles to the site. We've got video footage, we've got information, and we are following up all those particular incidents, and we are also fining the people now for dumping of material unlawfully in terms of the law, public violence bylaw. Then SAPS in terms of national instruction, I just mentioned it again, and then SAPS and POPs availability of resources to deal with this operational approach. In lockdown period, and that was in the beginning of July, the relationship between the police and the city of Cape Town was not what it should be. There was a notice served on me that they exclude law enforcement, specifically from the PROFJOC and from the provincial joints, and that impact a lot on our land invasions, and the city was responsible to deal with land invasions for more than a month alone on our own without the assistance of the police due to this instruction that was given. I had several interventions due to the fact that I'm representing the city at the PROFJOC. I approached the PROFJOC, I approached the MSC, I approached the cabinet in dealing with these issues. I approached the provincial commissioner, and at last there was a meeting between DOCS and the city of Cape Town and the South African police. And then there was an agreement that there will be a meeting called between the executive director, Richard Bosman, as well as the provincial commissioner to solve these problems. Apart from that, we are dealing with a guiding document in terms of the sub-national instruction, and that is part of our operational coordination. Then the availability of subs to form part of these operations, that was sorted out in a meeting yesterday. And then land invasions, operational planning meetings daily with subs, that was also sorted out yesterday, Chair. And then I just want to indicate to you that we are still having our operational coordination with regarding to our core command group meetings with subs in order to address crime. That's on a Monday and a Friday. And then also a representativity on the different joints. And then also I'm representing the city on the COVID-19 PROFJOC on a Tuesday. I must say there's a good relationship in with that in terms of any other crime prevention issues. It was just with the land invasions that we had the problem, but that was sorted. Then just the response plan.
Chairperson, so we took immediate interventions in the beginning of July to impact on the situation. We had community engagements with the sub-councils, the different MMCs and the mayor. The mayor convened almost weekly or several meetings and task teams and report back meetings. The resources were expanded in terms of the security contractor, budget permitting, but understand that the SAHRC court case actually precludes us or prohibits us from expanding those resources, which is a very difficult ruling to understand, but that's as it is. We are insourcing additional safety and security staff. Now, in terms of that court order, we're saying if we can't contract contractors, we'll hire internally to be able to fulfill that function. We have engagements with SAPS on a daily basis now or regular basis. And there's additional public order policing training being prepared for our staff because we can see we're going to have to do more and more of this over the next year likely. We have the joint operating committee for land invasions and the weekly task team with SAPS. There's a number of mitigation strategies we've created since the beginning of the year, the ops room at Ndabeni. We've expanded our land invasion unit in response to what's happening. We've expanded our Metro Police Tactical Response Unit. We're in the process of doing so. We have purchased additional hardened vehicles because so many of our vehicles are being smashed up. We've improved the monitoring of land and are trying to increasingly do so through aerial surveillance because ground-based surveillance is dangerous for the staff. We're starting to do the shadow investigations by our investigative unit in support of SAPS. Councillor Mzwaking Vashe is working on the unlawful occupation of land bylaw or unauthorized occupation of land bylaw in terms of our powers to fill in some of the gaps left by the PIE Act where we are not in contravention with the national legislation. And of course, we've got the expanded powers of law enforcement. There is an underutilization, I think, of city and provincial powers. The city has a province has a range of concurrent legislative powers with national government that I think need to be explored more comprehensively. And we are asking also that the provincial government look at the roles it can play in terms of a coordinating forum on land invasions, working on amendments to the PIE Act to deal with the definitions of inhabited, parallel provincial legislation, and perhaps the publication of a standard bylaw that all the municipalities can consider adopting, the sharing the financial cost for the anti-land invasion actions, legal assistance to municipalities, especially the smaller ones who struggle on this, working on the SAP's nodal point to make it more effective, performing watching briefs on these cases, and doing the cross-boundary cooperation with all the municipalities. These are just some issues around collaboration with SAPs in terms of shared technology and systems that will make us more effective on a policing level, not just with land invasions, but across the board. That includes things like getting the More for Touch working again, putting the city bylaws on the CAS system, integrating the SAPS War Room and TMC, better relationships around CCTV, extending our EPIC system to them, integrating radio, sharing crime stats, and of course, waiting for the CA to get our drone authority. So, Chair, that's basically it. I want to say that much of it, of this crisis at the moment, sits in the middle of a lot of doublespeak by national government, on the one hand calling for action against land invasions, but on the other hand celebrating the successful land invasions. And I think this is partially driving the situation. And then we definitely need to work on the legislation. The legislation is dysfunctional and needs to be addressed. Otherwise, you're going to create an ever-growing crisis in this country. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Alderman Smith. I am going to take Mr. Boy. Are you ready for us?
Thank you, Chair.
If I ask before you start, how many slides are you going to present?
There are not many. There are about 30 slides or so.
30.
But I'll go through them.
It's about 30.
You can give Alderman Smith a chance to, before he leaves, and chance to take some questions. I agree to that. That's fine by me.
Okay. I thought that you have minimum that we can interlink, but if you have so many, although we don't have a lot of time for about 30 slides, you are going to be allocated lesser time. I am going to request that we take the questions from the members. But members, before we take the questions, I think we have Brigadier Borgman with us, and he indicated that he doesn't have a presentation. We can ask questions. So through your indulgence, I'm going to ask that we ask the questions. You can ask and indicate if it's for SAP or if it's for the city, for JP Smith. Because I tend to believe they are interlinked in that way, we can be able to deal with both stakeholders with this issue. I am going to first recognize Member Andrikas. I see your hand. And Member Mare, is it a new hand or old hand? Okay, in this order, it's Member Andrikas, Member Heron, Member Mare, Member Allen, and Member America.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm going to switch off my video. Hopefully it will help with the sound. Chair, to Councillor Smith, Alderman Smith. Alderman Smith, you have referred to these land invasions as organized. Can you perhaps just back up that term that you're using? Why do you say that it is organized and not driven by the need for people to, you know, migrate to where work opportunities are, etc.? The second one is, what support is there for private owners or owners of private land, as well as, you know, other government organizations such as, you know, we've seen that railway reserves have been occupied, road reserves have been occupied, sandparks and Cape Nature land have been occupied. So to what extent can those owners of that land depend on support from either SAPS or from the city of Cape Town, or what is needed for them to get that kind of support? My third question is regarding video footage. I can imagine that it's very difficult if you have a group of people that are acting together, that afterwards to identify specific perpetrators. And to what extent can you, you've said you've provided some of that video footage to SAPS, but to what extent is that accepted in court? And to what extent does it help? And to what extent is it really available? And then you've spoken about the breakdown of the Provincial Joint Operations Center and the relationships there. Who is chairing that provincial JOC? And then lastly, Chair, can I just point out that obviously this is not a unique Western Cape problem. I've heard earlier in this week that Gauteng has spent something like 11.5 million and that they are also now reverting to the use of drones. But there's also been a problem with the appointment of a service provider. And perhaps, lastly, can you just tell us to what extent are you cooperating with other metros in the country that may have...
Member Andrikas, I think we have lost you there.
My apologies, Chair. My last question was just to what extent, since this is not a uniquely Western Cape or Cape Town challenge, to what extent are you engaging and perhaps exchanging information with other metros in the country that have similar problems to the city of Cape Town and to the Western Cape? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Members, we are going to have limited time, so when you ask questions, try to be direct with the questions. Although I'm not cutting you short, just be mindful of time. Member Heron, I hope, Mr. Smith, you are recording the questions so that it's not difficult for you to respond.
Diligently, ma'am.
Okay, thank you very much. Member Heron, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentations. I mean, I think it's unfortunate that we've landed here with the questioning because I think it's important to see the law enforcement action in the context of the human settlement solutions. But now we are focusing mainly on law enforcement actions without understanding how we're going to address the homelessness and those challenges that must give rise to this. So we've heard comments about this being orchestrated, and you know, I would also like to understand the evidence for the orchestration. We must understand the context in which cities in South Africa are experiencing urbanization. And so even if something is orchestrated or instigated, it is in the context of massive need. So I find it difficult to accept the minister's opening remarks that this cannot be needs related. It cannot only be about political orchestration. I mean, people will move also because they need somewhere to live. So I hope that the next part of the presentation will deal with the solutions and not focus only on the criminality or the criminalization of poverty. But I do want to ask about it was interesting to see the SAPS notification about the role of SAPS, because if you read that notification, and maybe Alderman Smith or Director Roberts can explain it, but from what I read, SAPS has no role to play other than opening a case of trespassing, then recording what happens, investigating, and if they assist with an eviction, it must be through proper court processes. So there's a lot of talk about SAPS must intervene, but if you read that instruction, I don't see how they can intervene unless there is a court order instructing them to assist or to intervene. So what does the, what are the presentation either from the city or from SAPS, what is the expectation around policing when there is an occupation of land? Is there expectation that SAPS must actually take physical action and remove people when that instruction doesn't seem to suggest that that's proper? And then we heard that the anti-land invasion unit is going to be expanded, and in the same context, if there are court orders now saying that it is unlawful to remove structures, it is unlawful to evict without a court order allowing for eviction, what is the purpose of expanding the anti-land invasion unit? What will they actually do as an expanded unit? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I am having now Member Marais.
Thank you, Chair. I think that the city has done as much as they could. I'm quite impressed by the presentation made by the member Smith and others. They seem to have ticked all the boxes required in terms of law, bylaws of the municipality. There's zoning regulations, there's issues like structural plans for the city in itself. That has just been discarded by the courts. So I don't think there's much more you can do, no matter how many bylaws you're going to pass. If that is the court's ruling that this is a definition of a habitat, is anything from cardboard to plastic to a zinc structure, if that is then I'm afraid what we have here is people just trying to get a fixed address to register with the IEC and influence election results next year. Let's face the fact, this is a political move. Colored people also need houses for the past 40 years. They don't invade land. I can show you thousands of them in Bishop Labors, Mannenberg, all over, sitting in caravans or Wendy houses in backyards. We don't see them invading land, claiming land. What are we going to do about this? I would like the city to say, what is the way out? If the courts venture onto the terrain of the other two legs of government, they're on the terrain of executive and legislative functions. The court is getting a bit too liberal, and they're siding with lawlessness. What are we going to do? What other means can you do to stop land invasions and protect lands in terms of Section 25 of the Constitution?
Okay. Thank you very much, Member. Member Allen?
Thank you so much, Chairperson, and I welcome the presentation by Alderman Smith. Thank you so much. Chairperson, my question is interlinked to the city as well as to the South African Police Service. My understanding is that the role of POPs in South Africa is mandated within our constitution, which determines the functions of the service, which includes it to maintain public order, to protect and secure the inhabitants of South Africa and their property, and to uphold the law and enforce the law. It is my understanding, obviously, if any person is invading land, that would be illegal. So in that way, I would also like to latch on to Member van der Westhuizen with regard to the evidence regarding land invasions, and that the director advised that evidence has been submitted and video footage has been submitted to SAPS. If we can get an understanding of where that investigation is currently at and what is the latest in that regard. But I would also, it is shocking to hear of the number of officials that has been injured during this time in this regard. I would also like to see from the city if there's any bystanders, for example, that has also been injured during this time, and is there any strategy around protecting bystanders that are close by in these matters? But also from SAPS directly, in terms of the resources and the allocation of the POPs unit, for the Western Cape to have the out of 9 provinces, we have the third least in terms of POPs units. I would like to know from SAPS regarding the potential for an increase in the allocation of POPs office, POPs offices. Would we be able to get an update when that could potentially happen? What is the latest in that regard? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Member America?
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm broadly covered by the previous speakers, but in addition to the question raised, and I would like to express my appreciation for the presentation and have empathy to our colleagues in the city to deal effectively with this growing challenge that they face. However, initially it was mentioned that within a specified period, 53 court orders were sort of handed down by courts. Now, I assume that all of those court against the city. I'd like to pose the question, how many of those orders were in favor of the city? And in terms of the execution of those orders who went in favor of the city, what's the progress in terms of that, and what's the nature of the court orders? And if not, what's the difficulties experienced in the execution thereof? Secondly, it's related to Honourable Heron's sort of remark about the role of SAPs. From the presentation, it came clear, and I think Honourable Regan also alluded to the fact that SAPS is primarily responsible for the execution of these illegal land invasion operations. So the question that I'd like to ask is, should the city's law enforcement agencies or unit withdraw from executing that role for which they are not equipped and resource, what the impact of that would be? And then lastly, Chair, I'd like to know whether, you know, Alderman Smith or whoever could share with us the impact on normal service delivery such as sanitation and solid waste removal, have in those areas that are usually affected by these land invasions, particularly Langa, as was stated, because there's growing frustration within the communities itself. And that's my last question, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I am going to take the last two members, which is Member Karma, three. Karma, Mackenzie, and Lily, please make sure that you have 1 minute each to ask the question. Member Karma?
Thank you very much, Chair. It's Member Karma. Yes. Chair, just quickly, in the problem statement found in the presentation by the city's safety and security chair, I was wondering why the lack of access to land for human settlement as part of the problem statement, which makes me to ask a question, Chair. Maybe if we had received the other presentation, I would have got more clarity. But if they can tell us on the relation that the safety and security has with the human settlements department in resolving all the factors which in the end result in these land invasions or evictions. I also want to understand, Chair, if in the units that work on land invasion or evictions, are there any of the officers used in those units part of the Western Cape Safety Plan LEAP officers? The other question I have, Chair, is whether this orchestration, I think I want to latch on the question of Member Allen, that because I hear this, that it gets repeated now and again, that these land invasions are organized and orchestrated by some individuals. Now, what I want to understand is there an investigation into that, and at what stage really is the investigation now, as this statement was also said even at the time of the Xolani situation. Also, to sub-chair, it would have been nice if we got a presentation so that we are able to ask directed questions. But I would also want to understand what has been the role of subs in these land invasions or evictions under these current conditions. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Member McKenzie.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the city for the presentation. I don't think anyone disputes the fact that people need housing or people need land to build their houses on. I don't think any government in this world disputes the fact. What I do think, based on what this presentation, and we'll get to the other presentations later on, is to how do you respond to illegal or land invasions in general? Because, I mean, it's illegal anyway. What I want to find out from the city, given the fact, and I mean, the stats point to itself. I mean, you don't find 500 land invasions before the Christmas Day, for example, or New Year's Eve. You find it before elections. So I don't think, I think we've passed disputing that fact already. What is the role of state security? Because I haven't seen them being on the ground and having participated in many elections. I've found that there's a lack of state security on these orchestrated land invasions. And have the city, because it's a big business. I mean, I can tell you, I drove past Baden Powell just on Sunday afternoon. It's big business. I mean, a shack, I think, land shack is now what, $4,000, $5,000. So people are making money out of it. Let's be under no illusion about it. I don't think anybody will ever dispute the fact that people are making money, that the shack builders are making serious money out of this. So has there been any investigation into those individuals building the shacks? Because they are making big bucks, because the shacks are all the same, well, not all of them, but quite a lot of them. So they come from the same supplier, to see if there's any involvement of them fueling the industry. And then the last point is, we've seen many footage, and we've seen footage of members of parliament, we've seen them actively involved next to the N2. Has the city laid charges against those ringleaders, and how far are those cases? And we get those case numbers so we can follow up with SAF to find out how far are those cases? Because there is a need for land and ease of need for housing, and there are genuine people who need housing. I mean, no one disputes that fact. But there are individuals who are fueling this, and that is what we've seen the rise of the before by-elections or before elections. But always, it comes at a particular period based on the slide that you presented to this committee, but I think we all know it already. So where are those cases? And if you can just supply the committee with case numbers so we can start following up on that. And again, where is the role of state security? Because those individuals belong to certain organizations. And have the city opened cases against those organizations that those individuals belong to? Because they obviously don't do it on their own. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The last one, Member Lily.
Thanks very much, Speaker. Mine will be very, very brief. On this issue, Ms. Speaker, I'm sorry, Chair.
Thank you.
I must say that we are frustrated as a city, or more than the city is, for instance, because what we've been observing in our communities, I would say about in our base areas, I would refer to ANC, where ANC councillors are, is that EFF is really orchestrating this, and for the benefit of elections in 2021. And we find ourselves now in a dilemma where
on the others, high, on the other hand, the city is not helping us in actually sending the law enforcement agencies in time to prevent these land invasions. And some of these instances are taking place where supposedly to be a project that is supposed to start, but the city delays some of these projects. Hence, I'm saying we are having a dilemma as an ANC, because between the EFF and the EF and the DA on the other hand for the delays, the EFF on the other side for inciting people to grab these pieces of land, even when there is already a project on the pipeline. So that is the frustration that we have in this, and I'm appealing from the Cape Town to really quickly deal with land invasion. As, for instance, in Councillor Gabuza's ward, there is a project that is coming in Ward 98 that is supposed to come, according to the city, in February next year. But now there is already a land invasion that was taking place on Sunday. When Councillor Kabuza was pleading with me and the law enforcement agencies to help making sure that those that packet of land is protected, unfortunately for him, there was no law enforcement agencies to actually remove those. Because of course, what Member Mackenzie is saying, of it is true. I've seen that in Hot Bay, where someone would own about 13 tracks. I mean, that is hogwash. Really, it's unacceptable for people to make business out of others' problems. Because I know from others, it's a problem to have a house. Are really struggling to get houses or a land. But for others, they are really doing this for business purposes. And we need to deal with that. We need to have something in place to deal with those hooligans and thieves, because corruption does not stop up there. It is also on the ground where we come from. Thanks very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Alderman Smith. Members, if you can drop your old hands, I will appreciate it.
Honourable Chairperson, I'll try and be quick. So in terms of the organised nature of the land invasions, I think we have seen evidence of selling the plots. We'll show you an example in Councillor Boyd's presentation. We've seen definite evidence of landlords who have come out in these processes and been exposed. We have witnesses who have come forward. I mean, as recently as last night, I was speaking with one such witness who I then reported to our SSIU to go and try and get a statement from Khayelitsha, who identifies clearly the organizers and orchestrators of it. We have seen definite examples of profiteering, because when we remove some of the structures, people come forward and say, but I paid for that structure, I'm entitled to it, I paid 1,500 Rand or I paid 7,000 Rand for that structure. So we are getting this. Unfortunately, very few people are willing to give you statements in that regard. We see delivery trucks come, expensive delivery trucks with large amounts of materials for clearly orchestrated land invasions. We've seen people with new equipment in Kraaifontein. Residents pointed out to us that groups of people had arrived to orchestrate the attack on the raceway there with new bolt cutters and new hammers and stuff, specifically, and new faces who the community didn't recognize. And there's some of this in Councillor Boyd's presentation. The point I think to make is that I think Member Heron is dead wrong on the issue of criminalization of poverty. This is not, in fact, at all that, but the very simple protecting of land of communities who do not want land invasions. I think you can only say that if you sit very far removed from the problem and you are not, in fact, having interaction with the people on the ground. Because if you do, you will get daily hundreds of complaints over a week or over a month from residents in Khayelitsha, in Hangberg, in Bloemfontein, in Kraaifontein, in Dunoon, in Umfolani, all over, from the people trying to protect initiation sites, from ANC councillors and MPs even, by phone, by text, and even in portfolio committees. And these same people have rights too, and they are in fact on the right side of the law. As Councillor Kaya Yorzi on the Safety and Security Portfolio Committee said in the Portfolio Committee that he's grateful for the city for responding effectively to his community's complaints as best as he could see, for the professional response, and that the failure to stop land invasions strips the community of land for amenities and facilities and future development and economic opportunities. Every land invasion is increased fire and flooding risk, crime through lack of crime prevention through environmental design, and a lack of services because you can't properly service the area. You're condemning everybody who lives in there, in the section of unauthorized land occupation to a very protracted period of very unpleasant or low quality of life. And the owners of the private land, if I can respond and say, it's very hard to get them to be involved. A lot of them are fearful and scared. They've been threatened. They are told that their houses will be burned down if they don't give access to electricity and water. So I think there's quite a lot of fear and intimidation there. And the main problem is the way in which the Trespassing Act is applied. So if this portfolio committee or any of the members from the safety, from community safety, want to apply their mind to it, a major crisis here is the Trespassing Act and the effective invalidation of the Trespassing Act through what is happening in our courts and otherwise. They've effectively stripped that act of any meaning. It's very difficult to get the private landowners sometimes to respond. We try and err on the side of support for them. Sand parks has been a major challenge. And if I can give you an example, at Driftsons, sand parks, the EFF took a case to court and purposely removed the city's land invasion unit from the court interdict so that we weren't allowed to help protect that land, and Sand Parks failed to defend it. So we were removed from the court interdict. I took it as a compliment that the EFF recognized that we were playing a very effective role in blocking them. But that's as it is now. We have video footage. We have informant statements. These have been handed to SAPS. The PropJock is managed by Major General Lincoln. And I think he could give you more information about how that works and coordinates the actions. Gauteng, it is right that Gauteng is taking massive action. Aside from the MEC Faith Mazibuko standing in the middle of land invasions, tweeting about them and bragging about them with the demolished structures around her, she also makes statements like, we're coming for you and your days are numbered. And they've appointed 1,500 extra enforcement staff by the Gauteng provincial government to go and demolish structures. No court case, no Human Rights Commission, no Social Justice Coalition, no Ndifuna Kwazi, none of any of these organizations that are so fixated on Cape Town. Chair, and also I must tell you, Chair, no endless being summons to national portfolio committees as Cape Town is every week. There is cooperation with other municipalities through the Institute for Municipal Public Safety and SOLGA, and some good work is being done, especially by SOLGA, in response to Member Heron. Law enforcement actions, law enforcement actions always take a precedent. We are very careful to make sure that when we act, it is in terms of a legal basis, either as a counter-spoliation action. We do not evict people without a court order. We counter-spoliate, but of course that goalpost has been massively moved by the Human Rights Commission case. Some of the information he's asking for is in the Councillor Boyce presentation, where we explain that there is a lot of work on the human settlement side. We are not, in fact, prioritizing enforcement as the response to this at all. SAPS have a very specific role to play in all of this, and they have the same responsibilities as the city in terms of preventing the unauthorized occupation of land. It's a national act, and it's enforceable by us all. The National Instruction 7 of 2017, we reference this in the slide, makes very specifically unpack SAPS's role in this. And if you had to look at a small rural municipality, how would they, with seven staff or five staff, effectively stop a land invasion if not for SAPS? So you must understand that clearly SAPS have a role to play. The anti-land invasion unit has already been expanded, but we are expanding it more, mainly in relation to the fact that the court is trying to block us from using external contractors. So we will insource this staff itself, because we cannot just let the land be invaded. Because after that, you will see many, many violent protest actions of people demanding services on land, where very often services are absolutely impossible, as the member knows well from his time as the mayoral committee member for what included human settlements. We can still prevent the structures, but we have to act extremely quickly, and therefore additional staff is needed. I note Member Marais' comments, Chair, with regards Member Allen. We did reference the 153 cases we opened. We really sympathize with our injured staff. I've gone to visit some of them and sent them gifts. We've seen a death in Kraaifontein, very sadly, from live ammunition. We're confident that it wasn't a city firearm, but we are cooperating with the investigation. And there was another example where in a protest action, a firearm was discharged and killed a child. And the person who did that was part of the protesters. So that is very problematic. There have also been attempted death, attempted murder cases opened. To Member America, the court orders I'm referring to are court orders to protect land from occupation, and we are all giving effect to those court orders wherever they are in place. There is a massive impact on our services because of the protest actions in certain areas. They are effectively red zones, and we are constantly being asked for escorts. This is massively impacting on our available resources. It's a huge drain on resources. To Member Karma, the lack of funding for housing from national government and the halving of our housing allocation grant is covered by Councillor Boy in his presentation. Our anti-land invasion unit is a fully integrated unit between safety and security and human settlements, and it's led by human settlements in the city. Our LEAP staff were not used at all until the last 2 weeks since the Human Rights Commission ruling, because we have now had to step up our action because so much more rapid action is required. To Member McKenzie, the State Security Agency are part of the PROVJOC and part of the Intelligence Coordinating Committee. The instigators of these actions are well known to us. They're very well known and documented. We are increasingly building files on them because we see them at every land invasion. We see their social media utterances. They're linked to organizations like Ndifuno Kwazi, the Social Justice Coalition, and others. They're employed by them in some incidents, incidents and reclaim the city. And they're funded by international funding organizations whose South African representatives are known and former and current political figures who channel that funding. So I think these dynamics are understood. We understand what's going on here. It's not a mystery to us. I am encouraging docs to consider doing more watching briefs on these cases, and we're happy to pass docs the case numbers here. With Member Lilly, I have great sympathy with him. I agree with him about the EFF involvement. The Speaker has initiated actions against, I think, at least two EFF councillors at the moment. We are responding to every complaint, but to the member, it's not that we don't want to or delay. We are just overwhelmed. If you can see from the volume of what's happened there and the fact that increasingly it's been made harder for us to be allowed to remove a structure because of the Human Rights Commission case, we are now losing structures, and with that, we are losing projects. So these delays means that that projects have had to be removed from the budget. We can no longer deliver on them. And also that they've been delayed by the constant attempted land invasions and protests that go with them. We have identified six high flyers. And I want to just say that I commend the bravery of some of the ANC councillors who, in the face of very great threats and violence, have stood up bravely, specifically Councillor Kachwa, who I have great admiration for. He's been very brave and he's been very substantially targeted. He's had to be put in a safe house by the city. And Member Lili is right to be frustrated, but I will tell you that the root problem here is the Broken Pie Act and how the definitions are structured. That definitions needed to be populated by regulations, which national government has failed to make over a very long time, even though SALGA have asked them to. And the very, very problematic and I think now unlawful disaster management regulations that are being abused and which effectively offer protections that undermine other constitutional rights in terms of, I think it's Regulation 53 at the moment, that makes it extremely difficult to address structures. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Member, is there any clarity or we must release?
Chair, may I run? I'm already 15 minutes late for my meeting with SAPS, ma'am.
Okay, thank you very much. Alderman, and we appreciate your presence today.
Thank you, ma'am.
With that said, members, sorry, Shumit, is Brigadier Bowman with us?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Is there something that he would want to address? Because I think there are some questions that were interlinking to SAFS. Brigadier Bowman? I don't see him in the meeting. I see him as a guest. I wonder if he's going to be able to speak to us.
Good morning. Good morning, Honorable Masibuko. I'm Brigadier Bowman, and I'm from SAFS. So I'm here with my team. We will respond on based on the questions that was posed to us. And I have here with me Captain Stefanos, who will also help me in the process of answering all the questions.
Okay. Okay. Member McKenzie, I recognize you.
Chairperson, I just want to get clarity. Is SAFS going to do a presentation, or is that just are they just going to respond to some of the questions? Is there an opportunity for more questions to SAFS? Do you want to get guidance from you, please?
Okay. Like I said, that they said they don't have a presentation. If there's any questions, we can ask them, and then they will respond to the questions. Hence, I was saying that based on their presentation from the city, if there's any questions that you can interlink, that you feel are SAFS, then you can ask them, then they will respond to that.
Speaker, can you see my hand?
I recognize you, Member Murray.
Thank you.
Go on, Member Murray, before we start with...
Thank you. SAFS, can you please tell me and respond? Is the Western Cape Police Commissioner involved at all in this dispute? Does he serve any purpose if he can't convince his national minister to assist the city of Cape Town? What is his role that he plays as the Western Cape Police Commissioner in land invasion? Has he been part of any discussions? And what has been his reaction to the dilemma we are facing?
Thank you very much. Member McKenzie?
Yes, Chairperson. So are we allowed to ask questions now?
Yeah, you can. Remember, I just said that.
Oh, okay. So I can proceed with the question.
What the JP was presenting so that we can finish with that part and then we continue with the part of the unlawful land occupation from the human settlements from the city side.
Okay, thank you. My question to SAFS would be, I did ask the JP what is the role of state security, and I just wanted to get an understanding from SAFS, what is the role of crime intelligence? And does SAFS have a watching brief on the high flyers, as Alderman Smith mentioned, on their involvement in these land invasions, including those suppliers of the units or the suppliers of the wood or the big trucks, as JP mentioned, because there's obviously big money involved. And the SAFS have a watching brief on those individuals and on those particular cases, because obviously one wants to break the cartel from the top, because if you can break them from the top, it's easy to deal with at the bottom. So you want to understand how SAFS's unit, whether crime intelligence or any other unit in SAFS, work on this particular. And I'm not necessarily talking about the POP units and those hardworking officials on the ground trying their best. I'm talking about the strategic units, the top management of SAFS, how they deal with the high flyers. And is the Hawks involved in dealing with some of, because this is not only a problem in the Western Cape, although much bigger, it's a problem in other provinces as well. And I just wanted to get an understanding where that is being dealt with strategically to avoid this consistently every single year becoming a problem, excluding the human settlements part, which we'll deal with later on. Like I said, we all know people need houses and we need to provide for them, but there's a fueling element that consistently comes up before key events in this country, which is in elections. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think it was only those two hands.
Chairperson, my hand is also up.
Okay, I did not see it. Over to you, Member Heron.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to get an answer to my question, which I did say was to City and SAFS, around the notice or the instruction that Director Roberts put up on the slide. from 2017, which was a guide or an instruction to SAFs regarding their actions with land occupations. That slide spoke about it, that SAFs must open a case of trespassing, must keep proper records, must investigate, and must follow proper court processes. So I wanted to understand from SAFs how they operationalize their role with this this challenge that we have in this country. I mean, is that the extent of their engagement to open a case for trespassing, or are they, I mean, are they operationalizing their role in another way? Do they physically prevent occupations? Do they remove structures? What? How do they operationalize and interpret that instruction? Or is there another instruction that we haven't seen? Thank you.
Thank you very much, member. Over to you, Brigadier.
Good morning, Madam Chair. This is Captain Stefanus, Fallacious Public Order Police, Cape Town. Just to answer on behalf of the Brigadier a couple of questions. Firstly, National Instruction 7 of 2017 needs to be looked at holistically and not in part. And there is clear guidelines to police members on how to deal with illegal land occupation, as well as the roles and responsibilities of police members. And it also has to look at the constitutional and human rights of the occupee as well as the owner. So there, it needs to be brought clear to all involved here that the land invasion as referred to needs to be dealt with in a very sensitive way, because at the end of the day, it's not just the owner that has to be looked at. It's the police has also an obligation to look at the occupee and how is the occupee also going to be accommodated, or how, because we can't just have members or persons or community staying on the streets, because now it would just be a transfer of problems or transfer of crime or issues that has to go. It's a very sensitive matter also, Madam Chair. I would also like to bring under the attention of the committee that at current, the POPs, the public order issue of capacity is being addressed by the National Commissioner, and it is a concern, but like I said, at this stage, it's on the level of the National Commissioner being addressed. And ways are being looked at how public order in the Western Cape will be, capacity will be accommodated. The involvement during law enforcement, the involvement during the land invasion as referred to, is that the police is currently assisting. We are every day, there is meetings assisting law enforcement to how evictions will be dealt with and how the thefts will assist, what is the capacity, and also not just with the capacity, what is the role of the various components in thefts? For example, the VSPOL, the station members, the public order police with a crowd management capacity, because that's also important that there's a crowd management capacity. And their National Instruction 4 of 2014 is very clear that there has to be a capacity, members trained in crowd management to assist, because during these land evictions or during these evictions and land-related incidents, we have got protests. And for the past quarter now, for the past 3 months, we have dealt with various incidents where it is not the eviction itself, but it's the aftermath of the evictions, where protest has taken place, where POPs has been committed. And on an average, we have 24 members having to attend to incidents of land-related protest. And the time that is utilized to address or stabilize or just restore these areas is a minimum of 10 to 12 hours that is looked at, because this violence or public violence just reoccurs. And besides the fact of the land-related, there is other public order issues that POPs and even the SAPs have to address, which currently is, for example, we are sitting with taxi violence at this present moment. We are sitting with various other process also. So yes, we are not complaining of our we got too much eye on our fork. We're not complaining about that. This is something we'll deal with. The current investigations and information that has been handed over to POPs, to SAPs, this is being looked at, Madam Chair, and the current investigations unfortunately cannot be discussed. Even information that's being processed now is of a confidential nature, and at this stage it cannot be discussed on this platform. But these investigations are ongoing into the concerns that is raised by the honourable members. I'll just like to I think it's Honourable Member Marie, the current provincial commissioner is female Lieutenant General Matakata, and she is giving all her cooperation, and she's utilizing all her components in her environment to assist and address land invasion that's currently occurring in the Western Cape. Our biggest concern with land invasions is in the metropole itself. There is very minimal rural environments that's being addressed. Our biggest concern now is in the metropole area where land invasions are happening. And like I said also that during our meetings, and this was a problem that was addressed and raised, during our meetings with the land invasion, the city has referred to two types of land land eviction operations, and we have addressed that. The first one is the planned operations, which we do not have a problem with because there is court order and planning that takes place there. But our concern lies with the unplanned operations, as they refer it to. And these unplanned operations is which usually escalates into the public violence that we're having. I hope that these questions or the questions of all the honourable members have been answered, Mrs. Chair or Madam Chair. So if there's anything else or any other questions that we eluded or not answered, please redirect so we can answer that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. I think we are going to take another presentation from the city, and I believe that in a way you are also going to be asked questions as it will interlink to that as we see the presentation happening. Over to you, Mr. Boy.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I hope Rihanna is online to assist with the presentation, because she's rolling the presentation from her side. Can you get the next slide, Rihanna? I'll try and be quick, Chair. I mean, this is an overview of the areas in the main that are around the city of Cape Town that are mainly affected, which we take them as hotspots, which is predominantly, as you can see, those red, they indicate them, the concentration points. Which is your Khayelitsha in Mfuleni, Delft, Kraaifontein, Philippi and Danun. Those are mainly the areas where we experience a lot of invasions. Part of what we, next slide, Rana. On the first point there on the current reality, it's the, remember, as I think the portfolio would know better, that housing in the main receives grant funding from national government, but the budget that we receive vis-a-vis what we need to deliver does not, there's a mismatch. And also, we are outstripped by the demand as a result of natural growth and also urbanization. So the budget, what that means in simple terms is that the budget that we receive from national government does not meet or match the demand that is out there. I mean, as the city of Cape Town, we have a backlog of more than 300,000 of people that are waiting for their housing opportunities. But the grant funding that we receive gives us a yield of between 3,000 and 4,000 in the previous financial years. But in this particular financial year, we'll be getting a yield of just around 1,800 up to 2,000 housing opportunities. Now, that there's a great disjuncture in that particular sense. Now, what are the key catalytic unlawful occupations? These situations are aggravated also by the economic impact of COVID-19. And as you have seen in the recent past, that people cited that they are being evicted by their landlords. So they were backyarders, they are being evicted, and also they are indicating reasons that they are trying to get some social distancing as indicated by lockdown regulations. Also, the other issue there is what we have experienced is what we normally call shack farming, which is people selling plots. And also, it's where it comes from, this particular, what we call a criminal syndicate, where we have seen, as Alderman Smith was mentioning, that you'd see trucks coming in and demonstrating that this is a well-orchestrated exercise, because people are making profit out of this particular matter when they sell land. And I think some of the committee members have alluded to this point. And also, some of the also committee members did touch on the maneuvering politically on the matter, where now, because it's an election year next year, in 2021, which is local government election, so some people are trying to gain some support and getting some traction on the ground, because they fuel this issue of land invasion with the hope that at some particular point those individuals will vote for them at some point, which is something that is very much uncalled for, and I think it's totally misguided. Also, I mean, upgrading of informal settlements are very important to us and necessary, but often tangled around various processes, as you would know, issues of environmental planning approval, etc., and also community engagements in the main. And also, what we have also seen is the public violence, I think, such as, and also Alderman Smith has alluded to, and his team, and unlawful land occupation are the community's response to government programs in some instances. Next slide, Rihanna. Look, what this, the next two slides, Chair, they merely demonstrate what we have seen in other metropolitan areas, your Johannesburg, your Etekwini, your Tswane, where we are doing comparison as to what has been happening. But this particular slide, what we have observed is that there's been not much interrogation as the city of Cape Town is being exposed to. As Alderman Smith has indicated, that you'd see that city of Cape Town has been summoned to various portfolios, from COCTA, from to police committee, to all sorts of committees, be it national government and provincial and otherwise, and also public scrutiny, as if this is only happening in the city of Cape Town. And I just hope Rihanna can be able to play a quick video, and I think this is a quick video. This video, Chair, demonstrates what has happened in Buffalo City, where big houses, and I'm sure some have seen it in the social media, where houses were being demolished by the metro in that particular area. And such as you can see, the metro from Buffalo City, and that white house at the back was also demolished, and other houses that are on that strip. In the city of Cape Town, we've never done that. And but the public outcry is as if we've done such a thing, but we've respected regulations as indicated to us by lockdown, and we have not evicted any persons. But what we have done is to make sure that we deal with the issue of land invasions. And this is in Danun, and I'm sure along Malubonga Drive, and I'm sure some would have seen this. I mean, it's been bad. People have invaded land during this lockdown, and various reasons have been cited also by our law enforcement officers earlier and Alderman Smith. I think now we'll deal with the impact of how does this land invasion impact on us as human settlements in the city of Cape Town. Next slide, Ryan. As I've indicated, formal housing development, which is your, we utilize two grants in the main, your USDG and HSDG, where we construct your BNG units, your PHP and CRUs, and on informal settlements, and also that grant we get 100% from national government. Also, the informal settlement upgrade grant we get from human settlements nationally, which is your USDG and UISPG grants to upgrade our informal settlements, and also to make sure that we do things like super blocking, reblocking, etc., and also assist various communities with your IDAs and TRAs. But the city of Cape Town injects a lot of its money on public housing, which is your mainly our rental stock that you have seen in Menenberg, Bonteville, Guguletu, Langa, etc. So that comes out of our budget. Now, this the impact of those who have waited patiently for housing will have to wait even longer, as sites are lost to illegal occupations and new sites need to be identified and budgeted for. So this is a very interesting part, because what we have, I mean, human settlements on going forward, I'll cite some of the sites here, if I can quickly go through them, Chair. The impact of this particular matter and sites that are under threat by this invasion, they are worth more than 1.3 billion rands. And I'll cite one of two of the sites in Morula, north in Kraaifontein, where we have recent invasions. That particular project is gone. I mean, in Backstage 2 in Khayelitsha, that particular project is gone, invaded. These are projects that are budgeted for, that are in the pipeline. Mahama infill projects, five of those projects in Khayelitsha, you'll see them on the next slide, they're gone. That's the total figure. That's 134.2 million rands worth of projects that are gone, that we have to reprioritize those amounts to other areas now. Those people who have been patiently waiting for their housing opportunities in those areas, those opportunities are gone. And I mean, if you look at those, the 3,257 housing opportunities that we no longer have available. When we say we no longer have available, we still have them on our budget. We budgeted for them, but now there is nothing that we can do on those sites. If you can go, I mean, on along that 162 million infrastructure upgrade in Khayelitsha, it's when we're trying, there's an area that is cited as Mpolweni. That particular site is gone. As you can see on this particular project, if we can go on the previous slide quickly, Rihanna, where I just want to demonstrate projects that are affected and we have lost from on our budget as well outside this, this particular slide, Rihanna, sorry. We have lost, I mean, there's a budget cut of more than 84 million rands, and from 206 million that we had anticipated that would have in the past year, in the past financial year, now we're sitting at just over 122 million. I mean, if you do your figures, it also, not only invasions, but also budget cuts now that are starting to affect us and also our delivery. It goes back to the first slide that I said that in terms of the budget and the demand, that's where there's a huge disjuncture. Next one, Rihanna. On this particular site, and I think this is the site that Alderman Smith and I think Honorable Lily were referring to. This is a Nkanini site. This particular site, we had anticipated that would have a yield of more than 11,000 housing opportunities. Those opportunities are gone, precisely because of land invasion and in areas like Honorable Lily will remember on the sand dune that we are trying to assist on, and they call it Platykloof and Vosho, which is a ditch in that particular area. This program or project on its own, it's worth over 490 million rands. That is because of immense invasions. That particular project it won't be realized at this particular point. Next slide, Rihanna. This is the Morula North BNG housing project, where it's on our budget, 57.2 million rands. This was going to give us a yield of 1,687. That project is gone. Those people that have been waiting patiently for their housing opportunities there, they will no longer have them. We will need to reprioritize and take that budget and go and give it to a different community that has not expressed this kind of behavior. Next slide, Rihanna. These are some of the projects that I've alluded to in Kailicha earlier. Those with a 77 million budget, 1,570 housing opportunities are lost. And also, I think one of them is where Councillor Kachwa is a councillor on, and it's in Makaza. And I think Alderman Smith touched on it, because we had to take him as the city of Cape Town to place of safety because of the threats that these land invasions come with, because these people who are invading land, they threaten the councillors. And it's one of the area there in particular is Makaza. There were 420 housing opportunities in that particular precinct that we're going to develop. It forms part of this 1,577. That is the site that I was talking about in Makaza, in Kuyasa, in Harare. All those sites are now gone. If you can go through, these are the other sites in False Bay, Harare, and another Harare. This is a project in the main that we call Mahama, if you see on the, I think it's the second or third slide when you started. Next one, Rihanna. I think operational impact on unlawful land occupation. The city of Cape Town does not have the resources to cater to newly formed settlements, often immediately asking for services at the expense of planned service provision. And I think the funding to the city that it receives from the national government is decreasing, and I think I've alluded to this particular point. The land occupied not suitable for human habitation, and I think some of the Driftsands area has been cited. And part of the challenge and I think this is where the next point is. It's when now all of a sudden there's starting to be a demand of basic services. And some of these areas that are being invaded, we can't even reticulate those areas. So it's not suitable for human habitation. I'm trying to move with a bit of speed, Chair. And also the issues, Rihanna. The impact is around legal fees, court orders, where we're spending a lot of money in courts, and medical costs on our staff who are on duty. Next one, Rihanna. And I mean, this is an area in Driftsands where people are trying to erect structures on land that is not good for human habitation. That is Danun. If I can, these people, I mean, we tried to deal with that invasion. As you can see, they ended up in water because of the winter season. But it's along the Malubongwe Drive. Next one, Rihanna. This is also in Danun under the bridge, and also along the railway line that belongs to Transnet. And we've been trying to protect this, and now it poses a big risk now to that community, because they're digging that bridge, as you can see, it's clearly marked on Potsdam Bridge. So it's it's part of the area that's behind factories in Danun, and we've been trying to deal with this invasion. And also this poses a huge danger to this particular community, and also to the railway that is supposed to be opened in the near future. And we are in talks with Transnet to find a solution to this particular problem. This is a massive invasion that happened in the past year. This is in Philippi on Prasa land. We did, when this invasion started, because it's not, that land does not belong to the city, I personally engaged, and also the officials did their level best to make sure that they engaged that Prasa to, when there was about 10 structures at the time, for them to police this particular precinct so that there is no further invasion. Today, we have more than 8,000 structures on that particular land. Next one, Rihanna. Thank you. I mean, this is Driftlands Nature Reserve. We're just trying now to show you the impact that, because that is a flood plain, and also there's a bulk water main on that area. So these are these two, or these four pictures, they demonstrate before and after, and also where there's invasion. Yeah, that's also Driftlands, when this picture was taken in last month on the 24th. Next one, Rihanna. Yeah, it's just this is just a demonstration of structures built on inside of dam wall, and which poses a risk, because I know when it comes to rainy season, will be seen as if we can't assist, but it's communities that we've alerted and tried to engage and indicate to them that this particular sites are not, cannot be developed, and also that they pose danger to these communities. Next one, Ryan. I mean, this is our mitigating strategy: obtain court order to protect land from illegal occupation, additional security, and we have tried now to sit down with ourselves and province to find a long-term, a medium to long-term solution to this problem, where we'd need to find some finances within our budget as the city, and also the province is assisting us in this regard, which is provincial human settlement. And thanks to Minister for the assistance that he is giving us on this matter, and so that we can be able to patrol and monitor all our housing projects, because some of the housing projects, there are people who are trying to hijack houses that have already been built. We have seen that in Mau Mau, in Guguletu, and in other projects around the city. And also alternative land use until such time the project is ready for implementation. The erection of signboards with information that discourages illegal occupation. Proactively identify beneficiaries of the housing project and make it known to them that we use protection community, because this is, we have identified that this is one of the issues that will assist us, where we also have get some assistance, and it's helping in other communities where we have this partnership with that particular community, because they also protect their projects without city or SEPs or safety and security coming in, but we also back them up when that happens. And also public participation to engage human settlements to assist with stakeholder engagements, which is your NGOs. This is currently underway. We have also made presentation to various caucuses in the city to demonstrate what are the pipeline projects, so that there's awareness in terms of our campaign, and also sharing information with those councillors and the pressure groups and NGOs. And we have developed the development of unlawful land occupation framework that is still under in a draft. Also, currently we are finalizing the development of management settlement approach. What does this mean? We have identified some land parcels that I will not mention here, where our teams from the city is working tirelessly with province and also HDA to make sure that we develop more site and service, and also IDAs and CRAs to try and deal with the backlog. Because remember, part of what we have experienced in this particular financial year is which I've touched on, is the decrease in HSDG funding. So, and all, now that means that we'll be more focusing on service sites and also your TRAs and IDAs. Yeah, I think in the main, Chair, that's it from our side. I tried to push as you asked me.
Yeah, you did. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay. Members, open for the questions. Or should I take the Department of Human Settlements and then you can ask the questions from both sides? I'll take your guidance from
your
members.
Please. Yeah,
okay.
That would be
preferred. Okay. HOD. Good morning,
Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation.
Our Director for Land and Asset Management, Mr. Roy Stewart, will present from our department. Thank you.
Okay. Over to you.
Okay, good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody, members, minister, and officials. I am not going to, skip some of the slides because much of it has already been presented as part of the presentation by Siti. So I'm just trying to pop up. While the Siti was presenting, I've tried to get an abridged version in the interest of time. I hope this is the, yeah. If I can just jump into it, and I'm being respectful of time.
Mm-hmm.
Chair, from provincial human settlements. Our focus is on our own land, and but not in the sense that we're being selfish, but because of that we are at the provincial government level, we are also mindful that we have a role to play in terms of advising and not only our own departments. The Western Cape government has three departments that are huge property owners. It's the human settlements, it's public works, and it is also the Department of Education as well. Our land, and in comparison to the city of Cape Town, it is about at a smaller proportion because our land mostly focuses on human settlements, and in public works, it is the education land. But when you look at what the city has presented, for example, their parks division, we've learned last week that they have at least in the parks division over 3,000 portions of land. That is only one division. So ours is a bit smaller in comparison, and in that aspect, we have the resources that we have. And our focus is primarily on human settlements as we are, and in assistance for the Department of Public Works as well. We have a better control over our land, and the fact that we also have a service provider that we can that has expertise in responding, that gives us a little edge. But being mindful of the fact that there are other municipalities as well that are looking to us, and some of the municipalities have never ever experienced this before. They have been battling now recently with land invasions as well. We assist therefore and advise municipalities, but we are also using our resources have been constrained by other state entities coming to lobbying support from us. We have a dedicated legal services team as well, where a lot of knowledge is being generated. And currently, in terms of the human rights case, a lot of the expertise and knowledge has been accumulated, and we joined the city of Cape Town in that respect. It's unfortunate the outcome of that case, but we've learned much in how to move forward. And in this current set of circumstances, the time and the response and the accumulation of information is important to stay ahead of the curve. One of the biggest issues that we have experienced is with SAPS. Now, this is not a SAPS bashing session, as you can see in the slide, much has been said here, but from a practical and operational perspective, it's one of the simplistic issues that SAPS can play. But if it doesn't happen, it creates such a problem, and that is the opening of a case. We had a few experiences in Delft where we went in with our service provider to prevent as the invasion was taking place. It was a protest action and the invasion. SAPS literally prevented us from accessing our own ground. And they said to us, we need to protect, our fundamental mandate is to protect body and limb. But we said we have the resources to go into our land, to protect our land. But yet they still prevented us from going onto the property. When we went subsequent to that, later the afternoon, one of our officials went to open a case. The station commander prevented us and said, no, you must come back tomorrow. Now, with land invasions, you cannot delay. It's got to be the same day. You've got to consult your legal services immediately, and you've got to respond to that. And this is where the problem comes in. We had a similar matter, two or three matters with the Public Works as well, where the Department of Public Works has gone to SAPS to open cases, but there's such a lack of response in opening for various reasons. We have now lobbied the SIU. We've got permission to open our cases at SIU. So a basic service that SAPS could do is to facilitate and open cases has now been made difficult, and we have to use now other channels in SAPS to open cases. They are in the city of Cape Town. We also sit with them in every morning in the what is called the war room, the daily debriefing, and then SAPS members come to the they are joined there as well, and then there is some cooperation there. So at various different stations, there's different responses. I would like to jump straight, therefore, with that backdrop, just to jump straight into the strategies that we've done now in terms of how to protect our land. The department, as I said, is daily in consultation with the city of Cape Town. That is where the intelligence is generated. There are always daily information, because it's a broad spectrum of sectors that is covered there. They bring a lot of information too, so that's where we somehow remain ahead of the curve. But it doesn't really help if you're ahead of the curve in terms of intelligence, but there are other obstacles that prevent you from taking the threat or the actual invasion further. So we get stymied in that process in literally protecting our own land. We have an internal unit that is property inspectors. Now, as the city has also indicated, this phenomenon happened since 2017. Our focus was primarily that unit was established just to patrol informal settlements. What has happened now from the 11th of July now is we have to use those very staff members and to go into to patrol very volatile areas, and they're not geared to respond to this, but the sharing of information and the intelligence from the city of Cape Town has been so amazing that they've literally even trained our own staff and shared information of how to respond to this and transforming them from ordinary officials and gearing them for these volatile situations. So it's been a really fantastic collaboration that we have with the city of Cape Town. As I said earlier, the service providers has vast experience in this space, and what we've done is we've now also shared the supply chain process that we followed. Now is that since they have been appointed by us, we've also allowed the city of Cape Town to piggyback on that, because the city of Cape Town does have the anti-land invasion unit, but it becomes so formidable and overwhelming that the our service provider, which has that expertise, is allowed to move in and provide that assistance and support. And this is what the previous presenter has also alluded to, where Human Settlements has provided that assistance. What we've also done is we have provided, we've looked at the data in terms of the daily briefing and also in terms of our own, where our projects are and where our land is located. We have looked at those areas that are prone to land invasion. There has been slides now. I've removed that out of my presentation at the expense of duplication. You've seen the slides presented also in the previous presentation, two or three previous presentations where those red circles were. Those are the same slides that we use. We look at the information that is being circulated. You cannot keep the information to yourself. People are aware where developments are going to happen, and those developments are then targeted. We've also looked at the our portfolio of properties. We've drawn out the complete portfolio and we've ranked them in terms of where developments are.